Amen. Amen. Our God deserves all praise, amen, honor, and glory.
Amen.
As we continue looking at God and understanding once again that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking this morning at God the Spirit. God the Spirit. Many people have not been taught that the Spirit is God. But as we will notice on this morning from God's holy and divine word, that He most definitely is God. As Brother Brian read from Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you would notice, if you're reading from any good translation, that the Spirit is capitalized. It's capitalized because, as I stated from the Word on last week, it is a proper noun. Well, many will say that the Spirit of God is just that. It is a spirit. But that will not hold true. As you look in John chapter 4 and the verse is 24, where the scriptures read there, John writes and he states that those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For He is a spirit. Now, spirit there is lowercase. It is mentioning an attribute or characteristic of God. He is a spirit. No, none of us, no one has ever seen Him. But Jesus states, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For we have studied and we understand that Jesus came down here upon this earth, God in bodily form. He's the exact image of God. So He could say that. But we go back and look again there in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. The Spirit of God, just like the Son of God, is a divine being. He's part of the Godhead. Three again, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. All three had a great role in the creation. And here we find that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Just as God is everywhere, we learn from Scripture that the Spirit is everywhere. Hey, you and I can't be in two places at the same time. You know those people that say, I wish I could have been there, but I'm not there in bodily form, but I'm there in the Spirit. When you look at the Spirit of God, He's here.
Amen.
He's here just like God is here. There's nowhere we can go and the Spirit is not there. How do I know that? Because of what the Bible says. And I'm not telling you this morning what I feel I'm not giving you my opinions or what I think. I am sharing with you the Word of God. Now, as I stated on last week, that, you know, when we were growing up, we weren't taught that the Spirit was part of the Godhead. Why? I don't know. It's in Scripture. Many times people don't talk about what they don't know. And the reason they don't know is because they do not study to find out. Have you ever had that person say, well, let me go and ask my preacher. Let me go and ask my pastor. I remember teaching a subject, you know, on something totally different from this. But when I taught that, and the men that I was teaching and the person that had been teaching them, they bombarded this person and they said, why are you doing what you're doing? Because this is what the Bible says. Can you explain that to me? And all they could say is, what does it say? What does it say? And left it at that. Later on, I got fired from volunteer work for preaching and teaching the truth. But today, as we look at the Spirit of God, we go to Psalm 139, the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead. You ever heard that where it says, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. And the little children, he understands this when they ask the question, you mean to tell me he is everywhere? He knows everything that I'm doing? Yes. Yes, he knows. The Bible says here in Psalm 139, verse 7, where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I go from your Spirit? Psalm 139. Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Again, where can we go? And God is not there. Where can we go? And the answer is nowhere. Nowhere. We may not want to take him with us, but he's there. We may try to hide from him, but he's there. We may participate in something that's good, he's there. We may be participating in bad, he's there. Not participating with us, but watching what we're doing. God the Spirit. God the Spirit. I believe as we look at these scripture references on this morning, as again I stated, you can't talk about one without talking about the other. Why? Because they operate together. They are in one accord. We need to understand again that it is because of the Spirit that we have the Word. His obedience. Listening to what the Father wanted him to do. Listening to what the Son wanted him to do. Because the Father and the Son are in agreement. So therefore, if the Spirit is God, he too must be in agreement with what they want. What they desired. What was good for you and I, and what is good for you and I. So we have the Word this morning because of the Spirit. He inspired men to write the Word down. No private interpretation. Brother Mel, what does that scripture mean? Brother Mel would say, well, let me give you my interpretation on that. We don't want Brother Mel's interpretation. We don't want Brother Holly's interpretation. You most definitely don't want my interpretation. So what we do is we look at the scripture and we take it at face value. I would pull a $100 bill out of my pocket, but it's empty. But if I pulled it out and I gave you that $100 bill and I asked you, well, how much is that? Are you going to say it's $10? No, you're going to take it at face value. You're going to say it's a $100 bill. So why not do the Word of God the same? Take it at face value for what it's worth. And for you and I, it is worth looking at. It is worth, as we have stated in times past, buy the truth and sell it not. It is something that we need to invest in and that we need to continue to share it with others. God the Spirit directs. God the Spirit directs. We were talking on Wednesday, and I mentioned in reference to Jesus telling his disciples that he was going to go away, and that when he go away, that he was going to send back the Comforter for him. Well, again, I have to admit, sometimes I want to mix scriptures up, but it's in there. Jesus is the one that sent the Spirit, but not only Jesus, but the Father sent the Spirit. Why? Because they operate together. I believe we were looking at John 14:26 on last Sunday and on Wednesday, or the Sunday before last and on Wednesday. This Sunday, we're looking at John chapter 15, and the verse is 26. John chapter 15, and the verse is 26. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Again, the Spirit of truth. We serve a God of truth. We know that Jesus is of truth. But here we find that it is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness of me. Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. The second member of the Godhead. And making reference to the third member of the Godhead. He will bear witness of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Oh, wait now. Let's understand this beginning. This beginning is not the beginning of time. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When he called his disciples, and here he's telling them that because you have been with me from the beginning, you too will bear witness. Why and what was the Holy Spirit going to do? He was going to come in order to comfort them, to be a helper unto them, to guide them into all truth and bring back to their remembrance the things in which Jesus had taught them. Now, some people have taught us many of things. And a lot of times we need something to pry that teaching out of us, to bring back to our remembrance the things that have been taught to us. And here Jesus is telling them, but when the helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. Have anybody ever came to you and they started talking about somebody, and as they began to talk about that somebody, you say, I don't remember them? And as they continue to talk, you say, I still don't remember. And then they tell you one more thing. You say, oh, yes, I now remember. I believe that when the Spirit came to bear witness of our Lord and our Savior, the things in which he said to them, they were right there with him. They were like, ah, yes, I remember when he first called me. Yes, I remember when he told us to go to Jerusalem because that is where the power of God would come. The Holy Spirit would come and allow us to be able to proclaim the word of our Savior. They did what they were supposed to do because the Spirit did what he was supposed to do. We find just as Jesus dwells within us, the Father dwells within us, we too have the Spirit dwelling within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse is 16. This is not the spirit of life in which we have, that God breathed into the nostrils of man in the very beginning, but this is the spirit, God the Spirit dwelling within us when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse is 16. You know, we need to understand who we are and why we should act accordingly. 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse is 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know that? Again, who are you? You're God's temple. What does that mean? That means that is where God will be. That is where God is. He dwells within you. The Spirit of God, God's Spirit dwells in you. You see, God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us for anything. If he's not, you know, the Spirit is not in Brother Glenn because Brother Glenn has been messing up, doesn't mean that he's going to leave Brother Tonopoulos. Now, I know Brother Glenn is not messing up, or shall I say, I hope he's not. Because we all want the Spirit. We all want God. We all want Jesus. Amen. So we all need to do what is right. Amen. Let me say this because it's not here in this lesson, and I meant to put it there. We're missing a very important verse to show you exactly that the Spirit is God. And I don't know why I didn't put it there, and if you give me a second, I probably will. But let's go to Ananias chapter 5. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Watch out, Brother Brian. Acts chapter 5. We'll start with verse 1. You know, many times as we go along our Christian journey, we do things. We get with the wrong people. Or maybe we're with the right person, but we're thinking about the wrong thing. Here we find in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your hearts or your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. He lied to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? He lied to the Holy Spirit. You remember last week I mentioned that sometimes, you know, a while way back, I thought of the Spirit as being an it. You can't lie to an it. But here he lied to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says this as we look at it. Verse 4. Well, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Whoa. That's not what Peter said at first, is it? He said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And now he said, you have not lied to man, but to God. See, the Holy Spirit is not a man like you and I. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. And here we find Ananias lied to God. He lied to the Holy Spirit. God, the Spirit, is whom he lied to. And know this, as we look at it, that as he lied to the Holy Spirit, he did not have time to correct that. He died. And not only he, but his wife, Sapphira, died as well. See, we can't play with God. The Spirit knew exactly what Ananias and Sapphira had done, and they paid the price. So again, we have to understand that when you're not doing right, the Spirit is not dwelling in you. Now, let's look at this next one here about being wise. How can you learn from somebody that don't know? It's pretty hard. What you learn from that individual is what not to do. But here we find in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 that this very God that we're talking about, God the Spirit, is one that gives wisdom. He gives wisdom. Well, James said, you know, if any of you lack wisdom, let pray to God. That's good too, isn't it? And that's necessary. But God is not the only one. Tell my God the Father is not the only one that holds wisdom. His Son holds wisdom. The Spirit holds wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, or verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. The Spirit of wisdom. How do we gain knowledge? How do we gain knowledge? We gain knowledge, let me say it like this. How do we gain knowledge of God? About His Word. About what He desires of us. We gain it through Scripture. We gain it through Scripture. We listen to men. We listen to people talk about God's Word. And we go back and we look at those things. And we study those things. And then we put those things into practice. Knowledge. One of the Scripture references I use during the invitation is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by what the Spirit has inspired men to write now. We're going to go and we're going to search it. And we're going to keep searching. And we're going to keep on studying. And we're going to keep on growing. The Spirit of wisdom. We need Him. We need Him.
Amen.
We need to stay in His Word. And we need to continue to abide in the things that God would have us to do. Now we find that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. We find that the Spirit that in which we enjoy reading about, and again, not fully understanding that He is God, we look at this and we say that He is God because of His divine nature. He is God because of where He has descended from. We know that God sent His Son down here upon this earth in order to be born of a virgin. But let us also understand that His Spirit came from the heavenly realms as well. In Matthew chapter 3, after Jesus was baptized, we find in verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now I want you to think about this scene just for a moment. Here Jesus, he has been born of a virgin. Here he is in John 3 being baptized by his cousin. And as he's baptized by his cousin, he looked at this all over. He looks up. And what does he see? He sees the third member of the Godhead whom he has left in glory descending down upon him like a dove. Is that not welcoming? Is that not a glorious scene? To be reunited with someone whom you left? And this is exactly what's happened. The Spirit now is with Jesus once again. And we know as we continue to look and we continue to read that there's many things that Jesus is going to do after this. And he's not alone. He has the Spirit with him. He has the Father with him. He's doing exactly what he is supposed to. But again, we're not really focusing on Jesus, but how can we not focus on him? We're focusing on God the Spirit. A divine being. Then we move on and we go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. See, you can go all through the book of John and you can look at all three again, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And then you have to understand each one of them had a purpose and still has a purpose today. So we find in John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Boy, that's something powerful there. That's something that only God can do, isn't it? Well, who is the Spirit? The Spirit is God. The Spirit is God. Jesus calls him here the helper. The helper. You know, when you go back and you read when God, you know, said, let us make man in our own image. Somebody had to take charge, didn't they? And that was God. Let us make man in our own image. It wasn't an idea of God the Son or God the Spirit. This was God's plan from the beginning. And in here we find that when God did that, and he said now that he's created man, and he allowed man to name all the animals that were in the garden, but there wasn't a help meet for man that was suitable for man. So he said, let me create one. Let me create man a helper. That help meet there is not capitalized, it is lowercase. But here we find a helper that Christ was going to send back. The helper that Christ did send back is capitalized. Why? Because it's the name of God. It's the name of the Spirit. It's not an attribute. It's not a characteristic. It is His name, the Helper, the Helper. So again, I want us to understand that He came to convict. By the word in which He gave to the disciples, they were able to convict because it's His word. The very word that God gave him, the very word that Christ gave him, is the word that He spoke unto them, that He gave unto them, in order for them to do what was right, to get men to understand that there is a God, there is a Son. Listen to the Spirit and be obedient. Be obedient. As the other three, or as the other two, or the other three lessons, we talk about the resurrection. We talk about the resurrection because all three had a very important role to play in the resurrection. Now again, knowing that Jesus came from heaven, He was separated from the Father at death. He died. And I mentioned that the Father resurrected Him, but the Father was not operating by Himself. He was not operating by Himself. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 10, Romans chapter 8, in the verse is 10, it says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Do we want that life? Do we want to live throughout all eternity? Amen. Well, we have to believe that the Spirit is God. Amen. He's a life giver. He's not taking anything away from the Father. He's not taking anything away from the Son. He's not trying to. He is working with them. We need all three. We need all three. Let's accept what the Bible says. Again, that last part. "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Do you see where it says that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead? The Spirit of God. We talk about the Son of God as being a member of the Godhead. Why come we can't talk about the Spirit of God being a member of the Godhead? We need to. You know, because we go through the Bible again, we say, why is it in some places, why is it the Spirit lowercase, and then in other places the Spirit is uppercase? Why? This is the reason right here. Because uppercase is God. We might as well accept it. We might as well accept it. You might as well accept it. And know that in the end, that we will stand before the three. And as we stand before the three, this is going to tell all that we have done. All that we have done. And for you to stand there and say, you know, I never knew that there was a Spirit. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. Because I know in Scripture there were those that said that they never had heard of the Holy Spirit. And as they were taught who the Holy Spirit was, what they did is that they were baptized for the remission of their sins. And they continued on. And they lived and they did the things that was right before God. Are you willing today to say that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing today to say that you're willing to accept what the Holy Spirit has inspired men to write down and to change your ways? Live a life that is pleasing unto God. Are you willing to do that today? And maybe, just maybe, you're here and you are a child of God, but you have strayed away from the fold. The Spirit has separated from you because you separated from the Spirit. Are you willing to get your life in order? Are you willing to confess your faults? You know, the water is here. If you're willing to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be immersed in the watery grave, that opportunity is yours. Do not pass it up. Do not linger. Do not tarry. For we have no idea when it's all going to be over. But what we can know is that when we have lived the way God wanted us to live, that we will have a place in heaven come judgment. So if you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.